Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
My heart aches when I hear ELCA members express a feeling of abandonment because of the decisions on human sexuality taken by our churchwide assembly. I am deeply concerned when ELCA members and congregations are being encouraged to signal that disagreement by withholding financial support. But my deepest sadness is that at such a moment we might lose the capacity together to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a moment for us to bear witness in an often divided and polarized church that the ELCA, not always in agreement, richly diverse, finds its one voice in the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's Mark Hansen, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, expressing some concern about the division within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Of course, that division became formal with the exit of some parishes and pastors from the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. Is a new Lutheran church body in the offing. Pastor Paul Spring joins us. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 19th. We'll talk about the formation of a new Lutheran church body for the next 10 minutes. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Paul Spring is chair of Lutheran Core, Lutheran Coalition for Renewal. Pastor Spring, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
How is this new proposed Lutheran church body any different from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Well, in some respects, we don't absolutely know because we don't have all the elements put together yet by far, since we've simply made a decision to form a Lutheran church, so all the details have yet to be worked out. But for sure, it's going to be a church that will be more faithful to the Lutheran confessions and more firmly rooted in the biblical narrative, especially regarding the distinction between law and gospel and the role of the law in Christian life. That's for sure.
So why, if someone says, why are you forming a new Lutheran church body, what's your answer in a nutshell?
Well, the issue has been brewing for quite some time for many of us. We've seen our church wander away from what we feel are true Lutheran positions. But the issue that really turned us was the action of the August Churchwide Assembly when the decision was made to approve the blessings of same-sex unions and the ordination and ministry of clergy who are in same-sex, active same-sex relationships. This, we feel, is a clear violation of the teaching of Holy Scripture and the 2,000 years of Christian history and heritage, and something that we simply could not tolerate.
How do you respond to John Brooks? He's a spokesman for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and he says that the ELCA remains, quote, a place for all people, despite any differences we might have on any issues.
Well, I'd like to know what our place really is, because our position has been thoroughly rejected. We tried everything, and I mean everything. We continued to try prayer, and we continue to do that. We had tried conversation. We tried persuasion. We tried arguments from Scripture and from the heritage of our church. And all of these efforts went for nothing when we went down to defeat in August. So I don't know where our place would be now within this church.
Is this what I'd heard about CORE when they met about a month ago, mm-hmm. was that they were anticipating starting a different synod within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, kind of a little province within there, but
right.
still not completely separate from the Evangelical
right.
Lutheran Church in America. Was that idea abandoned?
Yes, that idea was abandoned. We maintained that up for the last year or so, that we were an independent synod, more or less. Freestanding was our word for it, a freestanding synod within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And we even had recognition from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America as an independent Lutheran organization. But when that decision was made, that vote was taken back in August to approve blessings at ordaining of gays and lesbians, we withdrew from that independent Lutheran organization status and determined to live apart from the ELCA. That was devoted on, actually, at our September 25, I think, a gathering in Fishers in Indiana.
How many pastors' congregations are expected to affiliate with the new Lutheran church body?
We really have no idea at this point. I receive numerous messages from pastors and congregations that they are planning to, but I have no way of knowing what the number will be. I do know that our movement is flourishing. This morning I received about 60 or 70 emails, most of them from supporters individually and from congregations. We have now almost 18 to 20 reform movements that have gathered under our wing. Considerable financial resources are coming to us from our supporters. I can't help. There were 1,400 people that are gathering in Fishers, Indiana. This can only say that we have a large and significant level of support within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.
Will the new Lutheran church body take a stronger stand on inerrancy and inspiration of Scripture? And what about the ordination of women in the new Lutheran church body?
I doubt very much if we'll take a stronger stand on the inerrancy of Scripture. I think that our problem was not really with the language of the Confession of Faith contained in the Constitution of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, even regarding the nature of the Bible. It was that simply the Bible was not an operating principle which directed and led the life of the ELCA. Regarding the ordination of women, we fully accept the ordination of women, and we have, in fact, two women pastors who are on our steering committee. So for us, I think it's fair to say, the ordination of women is not going to be an issue for us.
How would you respond, and this would be my warning there, that the very way of reading the Bible that led to the ordination of women could potentially, again, lead to the ordination of active homosexuals, lesbians, and transgendered bisexual?
No, I would say, with respect, that the argument for the ordination of women can be biblically supported. There are references in Scripture to men alone doing ministry, but we also know of the significant role of women in the history of God's people, all the way back to Miriam and even going beyond that, and the witnesses of the resurrection who were initially women. So there is a strong evidence and biblical support for the ministry of women in the church, even the ministry of word and sacrament. We find no evidence whatsoever in the Bible, no evidence that would in any way endorse a homosexual lifestyle.
All right, well, I guess we will disagree with there, and I certainly pray that, that the new Lutheran church body doesn't fall prey to the same slippery slope.
That's our prayer, too.
What about repercussions from the national church body, especially with regard to property?
I don't really think there will be an issue, but there may be. I've seen no evidence as of yet of any kind of repercussions on this level, though I know some congregations are worried about this. I do know that on some other matters that are concerning our pastors, that they need not have any anxiety about their health and benefits and pension plan, because those could continue if they wished within the ELCA, even if they leave the ELCA. But I don't I have not seen any signs yet of any danger, though we are prepared and we have a team of lawyers who are members of the church who are ready and willing to work with congregations should problems develop.
Does the national church body, have they, to this point, with any exits that's taken place from the Evangelical Lutheran church body, have they asserted ownership of property or rights to property?
I have not personally heard of any such cases. There may have. One of our biggest concerns, however, is right now questions we have is what happens to mission congregations who are related to the ELCA who choose to withdraw. And there is a provision in a new covenant that has been drafted that if a mission congregation chooses to withdraw from the ELCA, it must repay all of the subsidization funds that they receive from the ELCA, which is going to be, if that's implemented, that is going to be a serious task and burden for such congregations to endure.
Then with less than a minute, how do you respond to the sentiments of Bishop Hansen, who says, look, this is not a church dividing issue, and your exits will harm the potential of both bodies to do to carry out the mission of the church? About 30 seconds.
Yes, well, of course, unity in the church is critically important, but what is even more important is fidelity to the Word of God. From the Reformation, we learned that unity is very important, but on some occasions, one must stand for the Word of God, even if it means disunity within the church.
Pastor Paul Spring is chair of Lutheran Core, Lutheran Coalition for Renewal. Pastor Spring, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Colleen Carol Campbell. She's been making the rounds, not Colleen, but Sarah Palin's been making the rounds with the release of her new book, already a bestseller. Some people have been renewing the criticism that she found when she was running for vice president. Others are being a little nicer. We'll see what Colleen Carol Campbell makes of the media coverage of Sarah Palin on the other side of the break. The Lutheran Study Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November. You can find out all about it by going to our website tonight, issuesetc.org. You'll find an image of the Lutheran Study Bible. Just click on that. You'll get some information. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order one for yourself. Order the Lutheran Study Bible, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, the Lutheran Study Bible. When we come back, I guess the biggest appearance that Sarah Palin made recently was on Oprah. And I think Oprah was very nice compared to some of the treatment that Sarah Palin was getting elsewhere. She had a long conversation, got to talk about the candidacy for vice president, talk about her life today and her life under the media scrutiny as she reemerges into public life, maybe even her future as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig, his email address, craig@issuesetc.org, or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.